Let's begin now.
I woke up this morning and I said, you know, instead of waiting for a good day to happen, you know, waiting around through ups and downs, you know, I just said, look.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Today, I'm flying solo, which is a first for me. With that being said, I would love to hear from you. If you have a caregiver question, an idea for a show topic, or would like to share your thoughts on being a caregiver, I would love to hear from you. And as much as that sounds like a desperate plea, I really, truly would love to hear from the people that have spent time listening to me. So give me a call at 844-967-2789. I have a lot of great guests in the works. Next week, I'm hoping to be joined by COO Rebecca, and I know I'm going to slaughter her name, Gerthanasis. She's going to have to tell me when she comes here. But she is the COO of Summit Credit Union. Summit Credit Union has over 49 locations across the state. And the thing that drew me to reach out to them to be on the show was the work that they do around inequity in money and women. They even address caregivers in some of their advertising campaigns. And although this show is for family caregivers, I cannot and will not dismiss the fact that depending on the type of caregiving taking place, studies have reported that between 59 and 75% of all caregivers are women. It's no secret that women make less than the dollar, less on the dollar than men, easy for me to say. When it comes to caregiving and parenting, women do the lion's share of the work, typically at the expense of reduced employment or no employment at all. What I'll be talking about with the CEO of Summit is, what does equity in money even mean? How does the pay gap impact women long term? And what factors play into having a pay gap in the first place? We'll also be talking about creating financial wellness and on a fixed income or limited budget. Lastly, we'll be talking about the Red Shoes program, a program that Summit Credit Union offers to support women and their finances. So if you're a woman, or if you have a woman in your life that you care about, you're not going to want to miss next week's show. Then, on August 30th, I will be joined by a whole civic media caregiver panel. And for the men out there, this one's for you. There are actually more men on the civic media caregiver panel than there are women, which says a lot about the wonderful men we have working at civic media. I will tell you more about the Civic Media Caregiver panel later in the show. So as I mentioned today, this is the first time I am flying solo on air. And for some reason, I was really struggling with what I should talk about today, only because there are so many different directions that we can go when it comes to caregiving, from mental health and your well-being to advocating and supporting on a national level, down to the local resources throughout our state. So when it comes to caregiving, there is a lot to talk about. And I try to give a glimpse into my rationale for advocating so hard for this show to support family caregivers every week. But today I'd like to spend the whole hour on this topic, raising awareness of the caregiver crisis in America and what we can do to start to address it. One of the reasons I really wanted to do this show is to raise awareness on the responsibilities that are placed on a huge number of people, over 53 million and growing. In today's world, life is full. Life is busy. Life is overwhelming. So for a lot of people, being a caregiver is extremely important and a hard job to incorporate into our already full day. just as we love and appreciate the caregivers out there supporting those that need them the most, we as a society need to do what we can to support them. It is odd for me to say this, but if we don't start thinking about how we're going to start taking care of each other, we as a nation are going to be in big trouble. And I'm sure that there are plenty of stories of extreme cases of 24/7 caregiving, but I happened to come across one today, so I'm just going to run with this one. It's a recent article in the BBC News by Adam Elay, who wrote about a woman that stayed up to care for her son with complex medical needs for 60 hours. Here are some takeaways from that article. Declan, who has a severe and progressive muscle wasting condition known as Duchenne muscular dystrophy and is unable to move unassisted, he requires a ventilator to breathe and lives with chronic heart and respiratory failure. Declan is entitled to 24/7 support, plus extra help in the morning and before bed. He and his mother, Alex, had been asking only for care overnight during her working hours. Repeatedly, they have faced shortfalls in care workers. Alex, his mother, has given up one of her jobs and has had a mental health breakdown due to the amount of care her son requires. Beacon, the company providing England's National Health Services advice line, told BBC it had seen a sharp rise in calls from families who just sound incredibly desperate, upset, stressed, exhausted, because the care package they qualify isn't working for them and they are struggling to get anybody to listen. The Integrated Care Boards told the BBC that they were grappling with the lack of experienced care workers at a time when patients are living longer and with greater levels of need. Alex, who is struggling to find support for her son, which requires 24-hour care, said, "I've had carriers, which we call in the state direct care workers or paid caregivers, crying on my shoulder, saying, 'I am not a nurse. This is too technical for me.' They are meant to have been trained on my equipment," says Declan, "but I have some who come in knowing absolutely nothing." Alex estimates 60 direct care workers have entered Declan's life in the past 2 years, including many who meet him, learn about his needs, but then never even start. Others leave shortly after their very first shift, overwhelmed by his level of need. "It has made me feel like a burden," says Alex, or "it has made him feel like a burden," says Alex. And let me tell you, I could do a whole show on the impact of rapid turnover in the direct care industry. Not only does it decrease the overall level of care, it also takes a very hard emotional toll on not only the family caregiver, but the person receiving the care. I remember crying when my son was younger because we were constantly seeing new faces and having to try to explain to a child over and over why someone they have grown to love and look up to will no longer be coming to see them. And I say we were very blessed and had many people that stayed with us for years and had become like family. And my son, a child with autism, didn't quite get it, but like Alex stated in this story, I can only imagine many of those needing care start to feel like a burden or that they are emotionally hurt by the fact they can't find anybody willing to help take care of them. Alex says the stress of arranging care has greatly affected her mental health, to the point she has even been close to suicide. After Deck had been in the hospital with pneumonia in October, he deteriorated a lot, she said. No one within his care team asked if we needed any extra help. And I know this is England, But you would have to tell me what makes the current caregiving crisis in the U.S. any different. I have heard stories of healthy, mostly independent people that were living in their own homes, engaged in the community, have to go into a nursing home because there was no one to help them with their most basic needs. And that isn't a story from across the pond. That is a true story of a woman in Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm sure there are many, many, many other stories like that throughout the U.S. I actually met a healthy woman that was wheelchair bound and had to have her husband quit his job simply because she needed help using the restroom throughout the day and there was no one to help her. Imagine the financial and emotional strain that a family goes through just so there is someone around to help with basic needs. And maybe I'm being totally selfish here, and I just want to ensure that there's someone out there to wipe my bottom when I need it. And how did we get to this point where we completely disregard those needing support and those that are giving up everything to do it? I feel like I'm on a crusade right now, right next to those fighting climate change and many other important topics, and we're all just out there on the top of a mountain kind of yelling, help! We need to change things. This is not going to end well. And I think we've all experienced a place, whether it be babysitting, having a new baby, working on a job. I'm sure Casper, my fabulous producer, is actually probably having this feeling right now when you're like, OMG, I just want a break. I just want to be done for a bit. Well, for a lot of people out there that are caregivers, they feel this way. Yet no break is in sight. And I've been fortunate in that I have not had to rely upon others to take care of me in that role. But I can only assume that if I was that person, I would want other people involved as well. I'd like to have new conversations, go to different places with people. And I know a lot of people have mixed feelings on this topic. Let's go back, stick with me, and let's talk more about the caregiver crisis after this short break.
Let's begin now. 360.
I woke up this morning and I said, you know, instead of waiting for a good day to happen, you know, waiting around through ups and downs, you know, I just said, look.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. And if you would like to join me in the conversation about the caregiver crisis in America, give me a call at 844-967-2789. I know a lot of people have mixed feelings on the topic because they see caregiving as a familial duty. And of course, it's a familial duty. This is something that either we silently or openly make an agreement with our family members. We're there for you. We got you, no matter what. If it wasn't a familial duty, there would be millions and millions of people in need of support out on the streets or in institutions of some sort. So I don't think the question is, you know, why are we doing this? The question is, we're struggling, and what are we going to do about it? I mean, think of those that choose to serve. They join with a sense of duty to serve and protect our country. So we should be thinking about how to best support them after their service. given that they signed up to die for us at all. But the point that I'm trying my hardest to make is that I think we have to find more innovative ways to make sure that we are able to support each other. The first thing that came to mind, which will make everyone cringe, is a caregiving tax, or perhaps carving money out of some of the taxes we already pay that goes towards providing adequate pay, proper training, certification, and the opportunity for growth within the direct care industry. And in the family caregiving arena, those funds would make sure that caregivers themselves were supported, whether it be interest-free loans, adequate time for respite, and/or readily accessible and widely known access to resources. You would not believe how many people out there don't even know the resources and support that are out there for them if they took the steps. Now, I know that people are probably looking for rocks to throw at me if I say another tax credit or carving out money from our current taxes, but if we take a look at the reality of what is happening now and what is expected to happen in the future, we have to come up with some kind of plan. Over the past 5 years, the number of caregivers increased from 43 million to over 53 million. 75 million baby boomers are expected to retire by 2030. By 2034, adults age 65 and older will outnumber children under the age of 18 for the first time ever. And it's estimated that 1.3 billion people in the world have a significant disability. This represents 16% of the world's population, or in the U.S., it's 1 out of 6. The unpaid work provided by family caregivers is valued at an estimated $600 billion. According to the latest report in the AARP's Valuing the Invaluable series. So instead of getting overwhelmed by the very overwhelming figures and statistics, why don't we redirect those dollars into better outcomes for everyone? But as I think about the 53 million caregivers out there, we also need to be thinking about those receiving care. Aren't they deserving of the best care as well? If you'd like to expand on this topic or share your personal experience, I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. What is one way we can support those supporting others, you may ask? Well, the one thing that I hear over and over is the need for direct support and the need for respite. And it's sad to me when caregivers struggle to have the ability to just go to work. And all people should have the right to work. And I think that there is room for improvement on how we approach that. In addition to creating a sense of purpose for many, it is also an opportunity to be part of a community, as well as the fact that it's good for the economy, right? Besides creating caregiver-friendly workplaces, we also need to be thinking outside the box on how we can address this. If there is one thing America needs, it is workers. Does anyone remember the days of 24-hour everything? Now, I feel like the world closes by 9 p.m. because there's just no one out there to work, which is probably fine. We probably all survived not being able to pick up our dry cleaning at 3 in the morning. But we do need to acknowledge that caregivers make up a large part of the workforce. The National Alliance for Caregivers and the AARP presents Caregiving in the U.S. 2020 report stating that an estimated 61% of caregivers work in addition to having the caregiver role. When the pandemic hit, we learned many things. But one was when our caregivers do not have any support, we cannot work. That was the case for many that depended on others to watch their loved ones while they went to work. In October 18th of 2022, Time magazine article stated, in the expansion of diversity efforts at work, one term seemingly is coming up over and over, and that is caregiver. Caregiver responsibilities are the fastest growing category of employee identity groups. Come back after this short break and learn what we can do to support the caregivers that we love and care about.
Let's begin now.
360. I woke up this morning and I said, you know, instead of waiting for a good day to happen, you know, waiting around through ups and downs, you know, I just said, look.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I don't think I could ever get sick of that song. I love that song. What are your thoughts on the caregiver crisis? Am I making a mountain out of a molehill? Or are we as a society, as a nation, just going to sit back and watch a lot, millions and millions of people continue to struggle without exploring other solutions? If you would like to expand on this topic or share your personal experience, give me a call at 844-967-2789. As I was saying earlier, in October 18th, 2022, Time magazine article stated, in the expansion of diversity efforts in the workplace, one term is seemingly everywhere. Caregiver. Caregiving responsibilities are the fastest growing category of employee identity groups. Like so many current workplace trends, this too is rooted in the pandemic, as widespread illness and disruption to daily life left many people with newfound caregiving obligations. An estimated 18 to 22% of U.S. workers provide care for an elderly, sick, or disabled family member, according to the nonprofit Roslyn Carter Institute for Caregivers. While almost three-quarters of employees said they had some type of current caregiving responsibility in a 2019 report from Harvard Business School. And I would imagine a large majority of that is childcare, which is its own separate beast and issue and something that we need to look into. COVID has made it more comfortable and acceptable for workers to talk about the care of their own aging parents, siblings, and those with special needs, or other relatives and friends who they might depend on or might depend on them. One thing that we learned through the pandemic is that we can be creative when it comes to work. We can work from home, we can job share, we can rethink when and where meetings take place, we can have flexible hours. In addition, employer benefits can include long-term planning, legal guidance, mental health support, and of course, the golden ticket, paid family leave to take care of a loved one in crisis. Another thing caregivers state over and over is the need for respite. Having respite does not mean having help so you can go to work or to have time to do other forms of work like cleaning, home maintenance, or scheduling appointments. Don't get me wrong. Having help is wonderful when you have a lot of personal matters to tend to, but this is not the same is having time to lay back in a hammock, visit friends, be creative, and have fun. Everyone needs those times to hang on to when things get tough. And when you don't have them, you start to think, wow, when was the last time I did whatever, fill in the blank? Then you start to become bitter and resentful and angry and or depressed. We all need those outlets in our life, or our overall health and well-being will start to decline. And there are many studies out there to show that. Running errands is completely different than spending time connecting and reflecting. I came across a monthly newsletter the other day of one of my most favorite humans ever, Esther Perel, and she wrote, "Play is one of my favorite topics. Play is the infinite testing ground for creativity. It allows us to safely take risks, learn new skills, and connect with ourselves and others. When crisis is all around us, rest and play can feel self-indulgent. But those are essential ingredients for our life force. I believe that staying connected to that life force prepares us to handle the very things we need to take a break from, so we can come back and fight those fights replenished and a little bit stronger." And I guess those are mine and Esther Perel's words of wisdom, whether you're a caregiver or not. I would argue that everyone needs time to unplug. Sometimes I just love to watch old movies and fantasize and remember about how much simpler things were before we had an app for everything, which I know sounds a little oxymoronic. So everyone needs respite. And the ACL agrees. The ACL, which is the Federal Administration for Community Living, created the RAISE Act, Family Caregiver Advisory Council. RAISE stands for Recognize, Assist, Include, Support, and Engage. The RAISE Family Caregiver Act of 2017 was signed into law in January of 2018. It seeks to address the diverse and complex issues faced by family caregivers through the development of the National Family Caregiving Strategy. The RAISE Act consists of three key elements. They want they've created the first National Family Caregiver Advisory Council. Two, they developed a report to Congress. And three, they have the creation of the National Family Caregiving Strategy. On September 21st, 2022, the 2022 National Strategy to Support Family Caregivers was delivered to Congress. The strategy included nearly 350 actions the federal government will take to support family caregivers in the coming year, and more than 150 actions that can be adopted at other levels of government across the private and across the private sector to begin to build a system that ensures family caregivers have the resources they need to maintain their own health, well-being, financial security, while providing crucial support for others. Okay. It looks like that we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to hold that thought, and Casper will help me out here. Let me know, Casper. Who am I speaking with?
We've got Mary from Wauwatosa on the line.
Mary, thank you so much for joining us. What are your thoughts tonight?
Hey, Liza, I have to say I am in awe of your and Kristen's advocacy on behalf of the caregiver crisis. And as a care partner for my family member for decades, I fortunately learned of your caregiver online sessions last spring, and I'm so glad I took it, and I'm glad you will be offering that again. It was invaluable. Regarding the consciousness-raising information you're providing on this subject, it reminds me of a question that I've had for some time, rather a hope or a wish that our society could move from its consumer focus to one of service. And I think your idea about improving the challenge of caregivers is fantastic. And regarding your and Kristen's successful efforts here, I have to say, leave it to a woman to brainstorm this need. Thank you, Liza.
Thank you so much, Mary. Mary is a wonderful, beautiful soul that did take one of our powerful tools for caregivers course, which I'm actually going to be talking about a little bit later. And you're right, leave it to a woman, huh? So,
thank you.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I don't believe so. I'll just stay tuned to, you know, your information here. It's really uplifting. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Mary, and thank you so much for your listenership and support. So as I was saying, that there is a whole RAISE Family Caregiver Advisory Council on a federal level, and they have 350 different actions that they plan to implement to help family caregivers. They came up with another 150 that can be done on a local level and within the private sector. And these actions are all revolved around five main goals the council set up to address the caregiver crisis. And sprinkled throughout the 101-page report, which I read, and actually it's fascinating. I don't know. I've shared before, I'm kind of a statistic nerd, so I loved it, but I learned a lot, is within that report is the need for and the access to respite care. So if you want to read about the solutions that were presented to Congress to support family caregivers, then go to acl.gov/RAISE. And afterwards, call your representatives. Tell them what resonated with you and tell them what you would like to see done. Because whether they want to believe it or not, our elected officials do work for us. And I got to give Tom from LA a shout out for that one. And I do believe that many of them know this and believe that. So call them, write them, send them an email, and let them know what you would like to be done in your backyard to address the caregiver crisis in America. So on that note, I will get off my soapbox for now, only for now, and switch gears and talk about some of the events that are coming up that may be of interest to you. The Caregiver Resource Center OC out of Fullerton, California, is a website that I just kind of stumbled upon that offers many valuable online resources and virtual classes. You can learn more about them at caregiveroc.org. I personally signed up for a class August 23rd on coping with emotions, but there are many others like dealing with finances, coping with grief and loss, and calming your worried mind, just to name a few. Calming your worried mind. I'm going to have to sign up for that one, too. I have a link on my Facebook page if you would like to learn more about the courses at caregiveroc.org. I also have on my Facebook page, I posted the link to register for Caregiving, Where Do I Start? This is being held virtually for 1 hour by the Senior Source. The class description says, caring for a senior loved one can be a challenging and even overwhelming, don't we know? This session will help you identify some key components of caregiving, such as assessing home safety, organizing important documents, identifying community resources, and mobilizing your care network. Also, we had last week, the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, and they are holding their annual self-determination conference in Wisconsin Dells, October 16th to the 18th, and registration is now open and will close mid-September. I personally have attended that conference as well, and it is fantastic. They have so many great speakers and things to learn about, and the sense of community that you get and the friends that you make, it is worth the effort to go and register and attend. Also, Saturday, September 16th, The Parkinson's Association of Wisconsin is putting on a huge event in Green Bay with music, food, a silent auction, and a walk. Megan Ramsack will be on in a few weeks to tell us more about that event, but I also have that posted on the Facebook page, The Empowered Caregiver, if you want to learn more about that event up in Green Bay. And while I'm talking about resources, I encourage everyone to go to their local ADRC to learn more about the class that Mary was referring to, the Powerful Tools for The Powerful Tools for Caregiving course. If you have trouble finding one in your area, you can search Powerful Tools for Caregivers, then click on upcoming caregiver classes and find a class that takes place either virtually or in person near you. Be back after this short break as we continue to talk about upcoming events and future programming of the Empowered Caregiver Show.
Let's begin now.
I woke up this morning and I said, you know, instead of waiting for a good day to happen, you know, waiting around through ups and downs, you know, I just said, look.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. And as I had said earlier, I am flying solo today. I am soaring above the clouds, wishful thinking, but I made it. I made it almost to the end. So I was sharing earlier about some resources that are available, and I don't want to keep going on and on, but there is two that I really want to get out there. And I had said that I was going to be promoting this every week to somebody, and I have yet to do it. So I really want to make sure that I share this, because this is a one-stop shop for family caregivers in Wisconsin. And that is going to wisconsincaregiver.org. They are located in every county and tribe in the state. The Wisconsin Family Caregiver Support Programs provide information and assistance to help people better care for their loved ones and themselves. So again, go to wisconsincaregiver.org. It is a one-stop shop for everything that you need to know about caregiving in Wisconsin. I also want to encourage all family caregivers to check out Tralta. Tralta, if I can say it, partners with organizations to help develop confident family caregivers. They focus on reducing caregiver burden while improving outcomes and reducing costs for our aging population. Learn more about them at Tralta.com, which is TRUALTA.com. And it looks like I have a caller on the line. I cannot wait. Casper, who am I talking with today?
We've got Dale calling from Illinois today.
Hi, Dale. Nice to speak with you. Are you there? Maybe I lost him. And maybe he'll...
Do you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. Yeah. Hi, Dale. Thanks for calling.
Right. Yeah, I got a question. I have a bunch of relatives that live up in Wisconsin, but... one of them's a Democrat, one of them's a MAGA. But I haven't heard a peep out of Ron Johnson for about a month now. Why has he gone silent? Is his name in the fake elector scheme?
You know, I couldn't tell you, but in my opinion, a silent Ron Johnson is what we need more of. And I'm just going to leave it at that. That's all I got for you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I haven't heard a lot about him, period. I haven't heard anything about him regarding the caregiver crisis and supporting caregivers. So that man just kind of fell off my radar. And I'm okay with that. I am A-okay with that. So I also wanted to let you guys know, next week, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking with Summit Credit Union about caregiving and finances. And then the following week, we are going to be joined by the Civic Media Caregiver Panel. And this is going to include William Walter, the host of Town Call, who will be talking about his experience as being a child caregiver. We will also have Mike Crute, co-host of Devil's Advocate and president, I think he's called himself, I don't know, of Civic Media, who will be telling his actually quite heart-wrenching story about being a primary caregiver to his dying mother when he was only 13 years old. Then we will be joined by radio legend Phil Nee from Richland Center, WRCE 107.7 FM, and he will tell us of his history of caring with his mother that had dementia. And lastly, we will be joined by Terry Barr from Max Inc. Radio that plays out across the state on Saturday and Sundays. And she will be sharing her experience as someone new to the caregiving world. Well, she better buckle up, Buttercup, as she takes on more and more responsibilities caring for her mother. So join us in the next upcoming weeks. We got some great lineups and more to follow after that. And I also want to throw out there, if you would like to sponsor the Empowered Caregiver, I would love to talk to you. You can reach out to me at liza@civicmedia.us. Civic Media plays out on 19 stations, I believe, and growing across the state of Wisconsin, covering Madison, Waukesha, or I should say we have locations in Madison, Waukesha, Richland Center, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Wausau, Amory, Hayward, Park Falls, never even heard of it, Racine, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Kenosha, and Baraboo. So we can craft a sponsorship package to reach the whole state, or just independent markets, or just play out within my show. So if you are a company that supports or works with family caregivers, then this is the place you need to advertise. If you don't have a business that works with family caregivers directly, then there's nothing wrong with letting others know that you stand behind family caregivers. I do this radio show as a passion project, so these sponsorships help keep me on the air. So if you are interested in sponsoring the Empowered Caregiver, please email me at liza@civicmedia.us. Casper, that is all that I've got. We've got another caller on the line.
We've got Evan from Waukesha on the line.
Wonderful. Evan, nice to be speaking with you.
You as well. I just want to say thank you for all that you're doing. I'm not a direct caregiver, but I worked with a special needs student in the school district of Waukesha. And it's really tough sometimes. I worked with him for 4 years. We developed a great relationship. But it is tough, and I want to say thank you for providing these informational resources and everything for caregivers.
Yeah, Evan, you're welcome. And thank you for doing the hard work. And you're absolutely right. It is tough. And it is tough within the school district. You're bound by a lot of rules, and it's just a tough place to navigate being in the paraeducator role. So my heart and love goes out to all of those that wake up every morning and do that and make a difference in these kiddos' lives. We absolutely could not do it without you. So thank you, Evan, and all the countless others that support those with disabilities within the school system. I know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting. So I want you to remember that you have got this. We are stronger together. So stay connected to the Empowered Caregiver community. And if you know caregivers out there, spread the word of the radio show and the Facebook page I have, The Empowered Caregiver. We are stronger together. See you next week. Cooking out, I gotta get me a plate. Got this new outfit, ain't even out in the state. So, ain't speaking too soon, but this a day.
my stunner shades on and the grin on my face. My new grill looks mean, but I swear I'm straight. And the hood showing love, so I'm A-OK.